For life.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, it is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, the microphone messiah, the first podcast, the first BC of 2024, and I am not alone. I am joined by the current Bullet Cast podcast champion, Brandon Tanguma.
Yes, hello, everybody. Happy 2024. We're back. Hope you guys all enjoyed the casties last week.
Yes.
And Philip, I'll be the first. Happy birthday. Whenever you guys are listening to this, it's January 4th. It's, you know, the man with many names' birthday today.
Yes. This is my last podcast as a 27-year-old piece of gold, technically, you know. 28-year-old piece of gold now. It's fantastic. 28 trips around the sun for one of the most important podcasters of the last 10 years. I've only been doing it for, what, almost seven now? February is the seven-year anniversary of the show. Yeah, man. This is just going to be a birthday episode for me. So just talk about how much you love me. Let's start that.
I love you so, so much. Just happy to be here. You know, we're in the year of our Lord 2024, which means your boy's turning 30 this year. Ugh. I already feel my back going out already.
Ugh. Your back going out, brother. You know how to fix that? Hopping in that ring, man. You know, a couple bumps, man. You'll fix your back right up. No? Okay.
I mean, everything I've heard, that does the opposite, but I'm not a doctor.
Right. Just play one on TV. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some wrestling to talk about. AEW World's End happened. It was the last pay-per-view event of 2023 for any company, I believe. Yeah. Brandon, why don't you take the reins on this? Let's not recap the whole thing.
Yeah. So, anyways, I got to be honest, guys. You know, wasn't the best AEW show. Pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever we're calling these things these days. Be honest, first half, first 60%, not the greatest. You know, matches kind of were what they were. But I do think the last three matches, or at least two of the last three matches, definitely kind of saved the show for me. So, you know, we'll start off there. We'll start off with Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, TNT title. No DQ. Copeland coming out with an ode to his WrestleMania match with Mick Foley. Don't know if it was the exact same gear or just a, you know, homage to it. But him and Christian go back and forth for 25 minutes. There's a flaming table. There's just stuff all over the place. We got people diving off balconies. We got blood. At the end of the day, Copeland does get the win. But earlier in the show, there was a battle royal for a TNT title shot. And they didn't, like, full-on explain that it was, like, a Money in the Bank situation. But then it was. And Killswitch gives the title back to Christian after Christian says something in his ear. And then Christian hits him with a spear and regains his title. So we get two title changes in one match, pretty much. And after all that, Christian is still the TNT champion.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. From the things I've heard about World's End, it was just like the chaos of this match. And then, you know, the MJF Samoa Joe of it all. They did good business. The veterans went out there and probably the best part of the show, you know, and it happens.
This is probably my second favorite match of the night, but this was probably an important match on the show because at this point, the show has just been kind of dredging along. The crowd was dead. And I don't know if that's like an AEW thing.
Dead in New York?
If it's a, you know, a Long Island thing, because if you, you know, go back to the all women's pay-per-view, that show was in, I believe, in the same building. It was also in Long Island, and they were kind of panned for being a dead crowd. So I don't know what's up with Long Island, but this definitely got the crowd up for it. They were excited, kind of cheating a little bit with all the different spots and stuff, but whatever you got to do, I guess. And I very much enjoyed it. You know, the decision to have Copeland win and then do the switch back to Christian, not the biggest fan of that. I think if you were, well, then you also had the thing of like, it's a no DQ match and it was the babyface's idea. And yet it's a 3-on-1 handicap, pretty much 4-on-1 if you count kill switch. So I don't know. I think it was just kind of a bait and switch type of thing. If you're going to do the, have Copeland win, you can get it back to Christian quickly, but I just think doing it on the same night, I wasn't the big fan of that.
Yeah. I mean, these things happen. I mean, Money in the Bank, usually like somebody will win, then like the guy cashes in and will beat that new guy. But yeah, that's.
But then also, at least that's an established thing that could happen.
Yeah, this was just randomness and didn't make sense. I mean, Edge VO won a title outside of WWE, first one in God knows how many years, since what, the 90s? Yeah. Hurts, Swerve wrestled Dustin Rhodes because Keith Lee is injured. Swerve apparently said it was a waste of his time, which plays into everything Swerve is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of that match either. Like, just the booking of having Swerve destroy Dustin's foot, leg, and then he, valiantly comes back. And I just feel as though they're fighting an uphill battle with Swerve right now. Now, I get it. I'm hoping Tony Khan is smart enough to realize that Swerve is, like, one of the most over people, if not the most over person, on that roster right now. And they're trying to keep him heel. They did very much the same thing on Dynamite this week. So I just hope they have a plan in place, but I'm very I'm not optimistic. I'll just say that they're gonna continue with Swerve at a high level, and I just thought they just have him destroy Rhodes without having the cinder block. Just have him a quick 5-minute match. Swerve wins. There we go. I mean, the match itself was just to get Swerve on the show, even with Keith Lee. And I think with a lower level person with not as much storyline behind it, really no storyline behind it, just give Swerve a win and move on.
Yeah, I don't know why that didn't happen. I don't know why Tony Khan didn't do that. The main event of it all, Samoa Joe is finally the AEW World Champion. So this is the right set of business was done. And then you have the lackluster reveal of the devil being Adam Cole. I guess.
Match itself wasn't great. They did the just such a corny, cheesy little vignette before MJF came out of, like, all these stereotypical Long Island people talking about MJF. And I mean, I thought it was so dumb. And even like the MJF music did not get, I think, as big of a pop as you would think it would. Because, like, we've seen him in Long Island a bunch of times in, before on Dynamites, and this thing was nowhere near what that was. Maybe that was just a tired crowd because of the pay-per-view, not a Dynamite, who knows?
Everybody was tired from the MSG show that happened a few days before this. They were still tired.
Because they were all there.
Yes.
But, yeah, the match itself, MJF has talked about how he's dealing with some injuries, and they definitely played that up, and I wonder how much that did affect the actual in-ring of it. I know I was a little bit more down. You were fine with the Samoa Joe winning the title. I was kind of hemming and hawing, and maybe you should, get someone who has a little more potential long term than Samoa Joe. But,
well, I was on it because if you just keep, having him, look dominant going into it, and then just keeps losing, then it does. Then eventually, when he wins, it doesn't mean anything. This was like, well, the last time it could happen was like 2 times ago, but this was really literally the last time that could happen. So they did it. Thank God. And have you seen the replica AEW belt Tony Khan gave to somebody with the interchangeable side plates? Are we just doing that now?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think MJF or Samoa Joe is going to walk around with a Burberry belt anymore.
Well, okay, we don't have to do the side plate thing because that's the WWE thing. We just go back to the original AEW title and call it a day.
I'm perfectly fine with that. The other thing is the match, I don't know. The actual finish itself of Samoa Joe choking out MJF, doing the three up, three down thing was very out of nowhere and shocking. And I kind of liked it. I thought it was, it kind of teaches the audience that anything can happen here and not in the World Wrestling Federation, but in the AEW Federation. And so I enjoyed that, but this was all just a backdrop for the double storyline, and even kind of going to Dynamite, it seemed the same thing as well. As this is supposed to be a sports-like promotion, and yet your longest reigning world champion ever gets dethroned in his hometown, and from the time the guy gets the belt to him going off screen was like 35, 40 seconds. And we're like, okay, get Samoa Joe off the stage. Who cares about that? Let's get to the real stuff and let's reveal the double. And it's like, I don't think that's the greatest thing to set up of just like, yeah, who cares about Samoa Joe and him winning the title, but let's get to this Adam Cole stuff. Should have been a bigger deal, I thought.
Well, I mean, they haven't been a sports-like promotion in a very long time. All that fell to the wayside a while ago, man.
And we're seeing with this Continental Classic, ratings are steady. People have been enjoying it, and I would hope. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, but 2024, maybe they try to get back to their roots a little bit, going back to that. And Samoa Joe is the kind of ideal champion to lead a sports-centric, at least main event level, title division. You got your Tony Storms and Big Bill and Ricky Starks in the tag division and stuff like that. But if you're gonna at least keep it in the men's singles world title division, I'll take that. They're also a little scared that they won't.
Yeah, how many Ricky Starks would jump ship?
Who I mean,
Be
there's
next. Be next.
people be jumping ship. Now,
That's,
you
you know
said it
what?
was anticlimactic of Adam Cole. I think it was kind of the best they could do. I think the hype was
No,
just so big that I don't know where they were gonna who they were gonna pull that would have been adequate.
it's fine. No, it's fine. Like, look, I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, he ruined his career by going over there. I'm not gonna be one of those people that, stops watching their work because they go to a different company.
Well, hindsight, if he stayed with the Triple H-led promotion, Triple H-led WWE, who knows? But at the
That's
time, it was a
that.
Vince
So
thing.
that's what I'm saying, guys. Like Keith Lee and if they had just kind of held out, you never know. You never know. They could have. I could have. We could have seen Adam Cole in a main event with Roman Reigns. We could have seen Keith Lee in a main event with Roman Reigns. Swerve possibly. I mean, Swerve. He got let go, but still, I mean, Swerve is doing better, much better work now. He finally kind of found his footing, and I'm happy with this Mogul Embassy stuff, and him and Nana are killing it. But yeah, it's just one of those things, the what ifs, man, let's, what ifs, 2024, let's get some bold predictions out there, man. Like what do you think is going to be happening this year, man? Like, I think Damian Priest will successfully cash in. I
My
think it,
bold prediction
well,
is kind
not
of a.
bold. It's not bold. I'm just, I haven't made a really bold one yet,
My bold prediction is Swerve Strickland will not win the AEW Championship.
All of 2024.
All of 2024. I
Okay.
am wishing, I hope, I'm a big Swerve guy, but track record has shown sometimes Tony Khan doesn't jump on the bandwagon at the right time or a little,
It was all with Hangman.
So, I mean, right now you have it set up with Samoa Joe the champion. He's a heel. They're very much keeping Swerve a heel. I don't know what the match is at Revolution. I think they are going to do MJF Adam Cole Revolution, but that's obviously not going to be for a title. So I'm just going to say Tony Khan's going to miss the boat with Swerve Strickland. I know that's kind of a bold prediction, but also kind of not with his track record right now.
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know. We'll see, man. We shall see. What other things? I think Roman beats Hogan's record. Was it September 13th or something? Or it's September of this year, so I think that happens. I believe Gunther will win a world championship this year.
More bold prediction. The Rock does not wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
It happens in Perth. As yep. The internet's been saying. Or, you know, that, what if they have a contract? I heard Sam Roberts say this. What if the contract signing's in Perth?
For a WrestleMania match?
We get a WrestleMania match. What if? I mean, it's WrestleMania 40. If you're going to do something big, if you want to give people the biggest match possible, it's Roman Reigns versus The Rock with that title on the line. We'll talk about The Rock and everything on Raw, but I'm just saying, if you're going to give people a match that big, should it happen at the biggest stage? Yes, you know. Now, I know I said last week not everything needs to happen at WrestleMania. That's kind of one of the ones. But this is a new era in WWE. If you want to just give us blockbuster matches on, you know, I'm going to call Elimination Chamber a B-level pay-per-view, because, I mean, it was great going into last year in the whole Sami Zayn thing, which, you know, is The Rock, is he in the Sami Zayn spot? Could that be? You know, we don't know yet. We it's only a couple days into the new year. You know, we haven't, Roman hasn't been back on TV. You know, he acknowledged what Rock said by tweeting out a laughing emoji. You know, we gotta wait and see, man.
So Elimination Chamber is February 24th. So yes, that's nearly 2 months. So if you were to jump right into a Rock Roman feud, it's not like it's, you know, the beginning of February. So you have quite a bit of time to kind of get some stuff out there. But I mean, I kind of agree with you that, you know, it's WrestleMania. You want to have all your chips down, have the biggest match possible. You could do, you know, Roman day one, Roman day two. You're kind of tempted fate a little bit with a possible injury.
No. You, Roman Reigns needs to be seen once, and it's that one night he has wrestled. I was a fan of the night one, night two last year, but excuse me. Thought about that. No, he needs to be seen one night. On one night, you get this guy.
And especially if it is your main event for both nights, I just don't think that's a smart gamble. Like, you can have a Seth Rollins or a Gunther or someone kind of a little bit lower, still relatively high, but if you're going to have the guy wrestle both nights, you are tempting fate a little bit. Now, I know the Roman Reigns matches aren't exactly, you know, Kenny Omega 5-10-star Tokyo Dome spectacles, stuff like that, but anything can happen. One wrong step can derail the entire show.
That is possible. Yeah, that is possible. All right, let's go on to outside the ring. Kevin Dunn, no longer with WWE after 30-plus years with the company. He has gone. We've already seen the changes that have been made with the production with that first Raw of the year on day one. What are your thoughts on Kevin Dunn finally being gone from WWE?
And this is huge news. Kevin Dunn has been in WWE like forever. Like, outside of Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn has been like the longest reigning guy with the most power in that company. And it's always been kind of known that he was a Vince guy and not exactly a Triple H, Paul Levesque guy. So if and when Triple H was to get that power, Kevin Dunn's time was numbered. And he lasted about a year and a half, and now he's finally, you know, seen the door.
Is this a Triple H move or is this an Endeavor TKO move? I think this is.
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think TKO has shown they have a lot of faith in Triple H right now, and if Triple H has his guys, and I forget exactly what his name was, but he had a guy, but then that guy went to AEW, so now that next guy up.
Oh, Mansoor.
Yeah, Mansoor. He's out.
Wasn't he like doing some creative stuff, or was he? No, he did the White Rabbit, right?
I don't know, something like that. But Kevin Dunn was more than just like a guy who did a billion camera cuts in 5 minutes. He had Vince's ear. He'd make little quibbles and have his, you know, ideas on how people should look and how people should come across and stuff like that. So just because he was a guy in the truck didn't mean he had much more power than what his kind of title would entail.
Yeah. I mean, there were good Kevin Dunn moments. I mean, I think SmackDown Live, just like the different little camera angles they would use during that first initial run, late 2016, early 2017. I mean, that really separated the show. It didn't feel like just, you know, our reset or a fallout from Raw or whatever, how it used to feel. Obviously, you know, they did stuff with that and the storylines and everything. But yeah, no, I mean, Kevin Dunn, he did have some interesting shots and angles over the course of his tenure in World Wrestling Entertainment. So he's gone. Sean Spears and Andrade El Idolo have left AEW. Andrade had his last match at World's End against Miro. CJ Perry was there, you know.
Showing off her chopped up finger. Not puking on hospital floors.
Yes, chopped up finger, yes. Sean Spears, yeah, he's gone. A guy that I didn't feel like got his just due. I mean, sure, he had that little feud with Cody. Thought that was going to turn out to be something. Then he was in the Pinnacle. Thought that was going to turn out to be something. He had Tully Blanchard tailing behind him. I mean, I thought he could have at least had a TNT title run, you know. The chairman, it looked like things were starting to pick up, but you're never going to capitalize on the magic of the perfect 10 again, huh? Does he come back?
I don't know. I know him and his wife, they announced they're having a second kid, so I don't know, maybe...
Wait, what?
What's it? The Iconic, what's her name? I forget. Not Billy Kay, Peyton Royce.
Cassie, they're having another child?
I believe they announced they're having a second child.
She just have a child?
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, you know, shoot or shoot, man.
But, I mean, I was never the biggest fan of Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger. I think he kind of was the perfect 10 gimmick, and that kind of was it. You know,
I mean, he can work. He can work. It's just they saw was the gimmick.
I think, you know, he had some potential kind of like as a mid-card heel, kind of that, and that I see that's kind of like where his cap would be. Andrade, on the other hand, I saw much more of him. You know, I was a big fan of him down in NXT. You know, he had some moments in WWE, and then in AEW, really, like, not much. And it seemed like for, like, the past 6 months, we knew he was gone. And now, finally, in 2024, he is gone. And so, whether he's going back to WWE with Charlotte or go down to Mexico and do whatever he's got to do, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't know what's up with Andrade, because I think he is very talented. And I just don't know what is that missing piece, whether it is, you know, the backstage stuff or just, you know, something character-wise that just doesn't kind of click with people. Because, yeah, I feel as though he could have been better in WWE, could have been better in AEW. And I feel like both of those times, something was just kind of holding it back. And I wonder if it was kind of like backstage stuff.
I don't know, man. Hopefully he's a surprise on the Rumble. Do you want to walk with Elijah?
I don't know if I want to, but it's going to happen, I guess.
The former Elias, yes. He revealed his new name as Elijah, so let's see. Let's see what happens.
Well, you know, everyone kind of compares him to the Honky Tonk Man, and Honky Tonk always said, you know, as long as I look like Honky and I can, you know, sign some autographs and stuff, I got a job for life. I don't think Elijah is at that same level, but he can do a similar gimmick across indies, across, you know, maybe a TNA or, you know, NWA or something, and he can, you know, get a good payday out of that.
I mean, he had a decent little run. I mean, he was out there with guys like Undertaker and John Cena. They don't just put anybody out there with guys like that. So, you know, evidently, you know, he did something right. The IWGP Global Heavyweight title has been introduced. So this is taking up for the U.S. title.
/ UK title / yes. Like the third level title there in New Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be in a triple threat match with Moxley, Ospreay, and Finlay. A lot of people kind of expecting Finlay to win with Ospreay on his way out to Moxley being an AEW guy. I'm not sure about that. Maybe Moxley pulls it out and possibly wins that title. But we'll be here next week and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the Continental Classic champion, Mad King, Eddie Kingston, forgot to throw that out there for World's End. Congrats to him. Thoughts on the Continental Classic title?
I mean, it's another title, and I'm a little confused because I guess Eddie's going to defend just the one title, not all three titles.
Yeah, that's what that means.
At the same time, so sure, I guess. Now we have a continental title to go with the international TNT.
Well, remember, we talked about this. The continental title represents three different companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently Trinity is expected to return to WWE, and Mercedes is expected to debut in AEW. They thought she was going to be there tonight, but it wasn't her.
Now, you know, now that we're into the new year, we got a lot of free agents, a lot of people leaving companies, contracts going to expired at January 1st at midnight. And, you know, Trinity and Mercedes, two people who have kind of forever been linked now, seems to be going in opposite directions. Her, you know, Trinity going to WWE, which I think is a good move for her. You know, everyone's going to ask her to be with the Bloodline, but I don't think you need to do that. I think putting her in the women's division is perfectly fine. And then Mercedes is definitely a big deal for AEW because their women's division like needs that very top level star. And if they were to get her and not fumble her, that would be just fantastic for that company.
How do you not fumble her?
I mean, don't just put her on the 9:30 women's slot and just have a match and, you know, let's have some real storylines and some real developments out there.
Make her special. Only have her on one show.
I agree. I mean, you can treat her like not the same level as Sting in terms of like the rarity you see her in the ring, but just kind of like make it a big deal when she is there and when she is doing stuff.
No, I mean, like, if let's say she's only on Collision. She can have backstage interview segments and promo segments, but, you know, when she wrestles, make it mean something. Don't have her on Rampage and Dynamite and pop in on Ring of Honor. Have her on one brand. If you want to see her, you have to watch Saturday Night. That'll put more eyes on their product, too.
I think Tony Khan needs to be like Vince in 98 and just be like, all right, what are we doing with Samoa Joe, you know, Mercedes, Swerve, Hangman, and, you know, just have like your 10 people that you need to know what you're doing, and then you figure everything else out. Like, have those people, have those tiers, and, you know, figure out what you're doing for them week to week, month to month, you know, pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Some quality control.
Quality control. TNA, PLEs, the video has surfaced about TNA talking about, you know, their streaming device and everything they offer, and it said premium live events, so then not pay-per-views.
So that means they're being bought by WWE, right? Because they're the only people that are allowed to say PLEs.
Well, I mean, WWE's the only person that's said this up until this point. Yeah. Interesting. You know, people, it has had people talking over the internet earlier today. Ibushi's ankles, Brandon, what's going on?
Yeah, Ibushi, 41 years old. Not exactly
He's 41?
Not exactly the physical god he has been. Yep, he's getting up there. You know,
I thought he was, because he's looked the same for. I just thought he was like, I mean, 33.
He was there 34? With Kenny Omega back in like 2008, wrestling those, you know, DDT shows.
That's true. Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, you know, Ibushi wrestling at a Noah show New Year's, and you know, he had two severe ankle injuries, and he just kind of tried to gut it through, did not look pretty, and then he you know, kind of passed out backstage, kind of like Undertaker WrestleMania 30, got taken to the hospital. So it seems like he's going to be okay, but obviously kind of a scary situation with Ibushi over there.
That's wild. That's absolutely wild.
But back to the TNA thing, I think it's them not copying WWE, but they do a lot of those kind of lower level shows on their streaming platform, and they're technically not pay-per-views. So I think that's kind of what they're doing. It's like WWE. Like, we're not actually paying per view. Like, they just come with the service, and that's what they are.
Yes. There was mail sent to us by Mr. X last year, believe it or not.
Shout out Mr. X.
Yeah, that didn't get to on the show. So I'll read them here. Why not?
Can't be that dated.
So is Samoa Joe the devil, or was he working with him? And if so, wouldn't the devil want to take the AEW title from MJF when we found that out? He also says, why does
I don't think Samoa Joe is the devil.
Yeah.
I think it's Adam Cole.
All right. It should have been Britt Baker. That's just my personal opinion. I thought that could have been something different. He also says, why does it seem like Dragon Lee is getting the push that many other luchadors that aren't Rey Mysterio wish they could have gotten over the years. Because Dragon Lee just has something about him, man. Those three King of Indies titles, you know.
I do think Dragon Lee is really special. And, I mean, it's not like they haven't given luchador pushes before. You know.
Sin Cara, Kalisto.
Yeah, Andrade. To an extent, but I don't think as much as I said, maybe some backstage stuff kind of hinder that. But Dragon Lee, I think, is. I mean, Mystico in Mexico was special, but I think Dragon Lee is kind of like the best Rey Mysterio since Rey Mysterio, at least in WWE. So I think he definitely deserves this push, which also made me wonder why he just lost to Escobar at the pay per view, just kind of like out of the blue.
Because he's Santos Escobar. He also says, what is your hope for the industry heading into 2024? I hope the business is booming, man. You know, it was a great year for, you see, like, just the bigger companies and things like that. I hope the whole industry is booming. You know, people jump ship or we're shocked and surprised. I hope, you know, some of these indie talents who are putting in work, like you saw Brian Keith on Dynamite tonight, man, like, guys like that, hopefully they truly get their just due and get to make it on national TV and get to go, you know. I hope the indies are healthy, especially, you know, here around the Bay. Healthy competition is great for all, man, you know. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I hope the business all around continues to thrive. It's been the healthiest in some time. I mean, maybe since, like, the height of, like, the Bullet Club, you know, that type of era where kind of the indies were booming as well. But, you know, rising tide raises all boats. WWE is doing fantastic, and I think that's just a trickle-down effect with wrestling in general. Really hope AEW kind of steps up their game. You know, they kind of had spurts here and there last year, but I think they really need to look themselves in the mirror and change some things up.
Sorry, I'm just going through the email. I have an email here from November 30th that I didn't read.
Oh, the audacity.
It's about you, too.
Oh, is it because I didn't read a UTR mailbag question?
It's the guy.
Yeah, damn it.
Alfie Lewis.
What racist thing did I say this time?
He says, I know why Brandon doesn't like transitional champions. Oh, dude. I guess we had a conversation about transitional champions.
Because I am one. I know. I'm the Sasha Banks of this podcast. You know,
listen. He says, I know why Brandon doesn't like transitional champions, because there's a moment in history that traumatized him. SummerSlam 2013.
Okay, we don't need to talk about that anymore.
You guys talk about it all the time. Cena was a couple, has a couple month run. Daniel Bryan beats him and immediately gets cashed in on by Randy Orton. This boohoo moment for little Brandon resulted in him not enjoying what could be an enjoyable moment for some to get a better moment for all down the line.
We could have just left that 2023. We have to read that now.
Wow. The first one of the year that I've read. That was an email. That was something special. I like that.
You can say a lot of things, but you can say that was an email.
That was something. Hootie Hoo 420.
Hootie Hoo.
Happy New Year, mates. Hope your holidays were wonderful. The Rock returned on the first day of the year. What else can we expect for the remainder of 2024? We kind of already got into, you know, that, like, our thoughts and everything. Jack of all trades. Where does the MJF storyline go from here? He's lost the title. Does he stay in AEW? Does he leave? Is it our, does he stay or does he leave? Is that it?
So they took him off the roster, whatever the hell that means these days. Was on a Dynamite, you know, hinted at, but not really talked about. Adam Cole kind of said he's gone. As I said, he's beat up. He's got some injuries. He doesn't know if he's going to rehab his shoulder or get full-blown surgery. So I think he'll be gone for quite a bit, but I think he's been signed with AEW for quite a bit now. So I, you know, they haven't been playing up the bidding war thing, and I don't think that is going to happen.
Well, because he was a babyface. Babyface don't play up bidding wars.
Well, yes, but they also, you know, he referenced it a few times, like in offshoot interviews, but I think that was just him kind of being coy. So I think he'll be gone for a little bit, maybe like until the end of February. So I don't know how Adam Cole's ankle's doing. but hopefully they kind of sync up to where both guys get healthy at the same time. And once Adam Cole gets healthy, MJF makes his return, and we can get this? Them at Revolution. Maybe stretch out to Double or Nothing if MJF and Wardlow have a match. And then that is kind of the prelude to MJF and Adam Cole with Double or Nothing.
I guess. Dan says, I'm enjoying this little run of Nia Jax. She's just being dominant, and that win on Monday was a move in the right direction. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw, shall we? Let's talk about it. You know, rumors were speculating that a former WWE champion was going to be on Monday Night Raw day one. Triple H said he can't speak to the rumors, but stay tuned. We find out Jinder Mahal, the modern-day Maharaja, returned. You know, I'm a Jinder fan, man. I was the only guy in the world who was out here. Me and Stat Guy Greg from Cheap Heat, the only two people in the world that were preaching the Jinder talk back when he was champion. You still can't hinder the Jinder, baby. I don't care what y'all say, man. Jinder had a really good promo, you know, just downgrading America and, you know, getting to buy into it. And then all of a sudden, if you smell what The Rock was cooking, the great one, you know, he was on College Game Day again earlier in the day, just a little bit away from where Raw was in San Diego. So I guess whenever he's on a Pat McAfee College Game Day and the WWE show is close, we can expect that he'll show up. Nonetheless,
that's just a fact.
Yeah, well, that's a fact now. It's two for two, man. Can we get the trifecta? I don't know. We'll see.
Is Raw in Houston next week?
It may be in Houston next week. But Rock comes out there, has a little back and forth with Jinder. Jinder actually gets some shots in on Dwayne. Dwayne stops him, spine buster people's elbow. And before he leaves, he picks up the mic and says, you know, I got to go get something to eat. I'm a little hungry. Should I sit at the booth? You know, people thought it was a setup for a pie joke. Should I sit at the bar? You know, The Rock likes the bar. Or should I sit at the head of the table? The pop that got and the wide out, the zoom out. I was like, okay, this is WWE. I mean, this is the first day of the year. This is what we're doing. It is the first official acknowledgement on WWE programming of Roman Reigns by The Rock.
Yeah, I didn't see it live.
The memes are going crazy.
Yeah, I heard him do the head of the table thing, and I was like, okay, he must, you know, I saw he was going back and forth with Jinder, so I thought that's when it happened, but no. It's after he beats up Jinder, so he makes a fact for it to go back in the ring, do the head of the table line, so it's like, okay, you can't do all that just to, like, not deliver. And then this kind of heads into our speculation, like, oh, is it at Elimination Chamber? Is it at WrestleMania? Do you get all the way down to SummerSlam? Like, at this point, you have to do that match because you can't just tease it like that and then not pull the trigger this year.
I mean, look, people gave up. People legit gave up. Look, man. This is interesting, you know? Like, did CM Punk leave for 10 years, come back just to have a spot taken by The Rock again? Cody, is he ever going to finish the story? Because Dwayne's back and he wants Roman now? We are in a very interesting predicament, you know? We have The Rock doing this. We have LA Knight, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles on SmackDown that all want Roman Reigns. Cody still wants to finish his story. You know, there's a lot going on. There is a lot going on right now.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. You know, we talked about earlier, possibly at Elimination Chamber. I don't know. I mean, they have to have a plan because there's a reason why he said that. Like, he's not just going to do all that, jump back in the ring, say that for them to just kind of ignore it. And Roman's selling on Twitter. I think is Roman supposed to be at SmackDown next this week?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked the schedule of the Tribal Chief, but yeah,
probably
going to
get a rebuttal from him.
We'll see.
We shall see. Well, another thing is The Rock. I mean, God bless him, but the man is looking huge. I mean, he's much bigger than what he was wrestling at, you know, 28 and 29. He's older now. You know, he's a little nitpicky, but he was a little bit out of breath just after doing that little thing with Jinder, which does make me kind of worrisome him trying to do a match.
he don't look like a lot, but that'll get you breathing hard, all right?
I understand that. That's what I'm saying. Like, that 20, I mean, you know, 28, it was first match back in a while, and 29 he gets hurt. So it's like,
What do you mean? He had a match at 32.
Oh, sorry. That just electrifying match he had with Eric Rowan. How could I forget? I'm sorry. Yes.
Look, I mean, we know the genes, that we know the blood that's running through those veins, bro. It's special blood. He gonna be all right. They gonna be all right. They gonna, you know, when this happens, you know, they gonna be fine. They gonna go out there, give him 15 minutes, just straight up,
which
you know?
I think is perfect. Do not try to go 25. Just let's keep it short and sweet. Let's do some walk and brawl. Roman can talk to the camera. Rock can talk to the camera. We get
25 total minutes because of entrances and everything. 15, get to 15 if you can. 10 to 15 in the ring. That's what we need. 10 to 15. But look, man, yeah, it's the biggest match you can do, man. Cody can wait. Cody doesn't have to beat Roman Reigns to finish the story. The story is winning the WWE Championship. It just so happens to be held by Roman Reigns. Because, like, we still got to get through LA Knight. We got to get him another one. We got to get through Randy Orton. We got to get through AJ Styles. So I see what, you know, what, Royal Rumble? We don't know what's going on with Elimination Chamber. Somebody's getting, let's say it's Rock at WrestleMania. Then, you know, we need to set up something for somebody after. You know? It's a lot.
I think Cody should be the one that beats Roman. But then it is Rock and Roman. You should only have it. You should only have, I think, one match at WrestleMania for Roman. So I think Cody, like, I'm sorry, brother. It's got to be Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. And then we can give you, you know, your title win at SummerSlam or something like that. Like, it's a tough position for kind of everyone involved. Like, you know, Triple H, Cody, because even like CM Punk, like, who knows when this whole thing came together. Like, if they knew this a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago.
We got two nights of WrestleMania. The rumor, or everybody wants Seth and Punk night one. Do that. Do it. You have Punk win that Rumble, and you have him show up unexpectedly on a SmackDown that Roman Reigns is at. And we plant those seeds. Like, oh, my God, is this really going to happen? But then, you know, eventually Punk chooses Seth. You know, let's do this.
I think I have to pick one. I think this match happens at Elimination Chamber because Perth paid a pretty penny. And I wonder if they had, not like a request, but if WWE was like, look, we can, or we have The Rock for this match. You guys pay up. We can give you all the monies in the world.
Right. We need a confrontation between Cody and Rock. We need one of those. I need to see that.
I'm also just thinking, like, if it is Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, what does Cody do? Because I think Punk and Seth set in stone.
Orton.
I mean, you could do Orton. Drew McIntyre, I think, could be like a fun.
You know what?
It could be a fun match, but I just don't know if that's kind of like the big match that you kind of want Cody to be in.
You never know. I mean, I don't know. We've got to see. We've got to see. There's a lot still that can happen, man. There's a lot still that can happen.
Him and Sean Spears will just, you know,
yes. Cody Rhodes versus Ty running back from All Out 2019. Was that it? No. Was it 2019? I don't. I really don't. Anyway, moving on from that. Seth Rollins retained the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. The Judgment Day comes out there. Damian Priest tries to cash in. Drew wasn't having any of it. Claymore throwing people, comes in there, gets pedigreed, super kicked, all that. Curb stomp, 1, 2, 3. Seth Rollins is still the heavyweight champion of the world, and he just eclipsed 220 days, I believe, as the world heavyweight champion.
Good match. Thought the finish was a tad bit contrived because I just thought it's, you know, Damian Priest coming out with the Money in the Bank match. I didn't think it like necessitated that. It just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, why would Priest come in right now to make a triple threat match? In a match where, like, yeah, it was going long and it was brutal, but it wasn't anything like over the top compared to, like, you know, those Seth matches with Nakamura and stuff like that, and like the other stuff he tried to cash in on. So Wasn't the biggest fan of that, but it does kind of play into the fact of Drew continuing to kind of get the short end of the stick and kind of, you know, missing on the pin, you know, Seth getting his foot on the rope and stuff like that. So, you know, it was good. Had some of his qualms, and I wonder, you know, Punk will be back next week, and maybe they kind of ramp up that Seth and Punk feud. But Seth's got the WrestleMania or at a Royal Rumble, I presume, and maybe that is another Drew match, but then we're going, you know, to the well again. So we'll have to wait and see about that. Well, Philip pulling a me and media's mic. I've been a good boy. This, you know, that was my present to Philip, is an adequate podcast.
Yes,
performance.
Yes, of course. Sorry. I apologize. Moving on from that, Nia Jax defeats Becky Lynch. You know, hit her with that that right hand. You know, Michael Cole's like, oh, that's the right, that's the straight right that broke her nose. Boom, bop. I mean, this was a good match, man. I mean, the tease of the manhandle slam off the second, the Avalanche Samoan drop. I mean, just the they really went out there and put in some work. I loved this.
And it was the first match of the show, so crowd was hot for this. You know, Nia, you know, have her qualms, maybe like in-ring wise, but I thought she brought it. I think Becky, you know, got the best out of her here. And the emailer liked the decision to have Nia win. And, you know, I kind of agree. You know, you had her win relative, you know, pretty clean. Like, it's kind of as clean as you're going to have in a WWE match like this. And, you know, she wins and you're building her up, presumably for Rhea Ripley. You know, Jade is kind of MIA at the moment. So I think right now building her up for to feed to Rhea, whether that's at a WrestleMania or at the Royal Rumble, I think is perfectly fine. And then you can do a Rhea Becky match at WrestleMania. So I, you know, as much as Becky's my girl, didn't have much of a problem with this. Give me that Becky. Haven't said
wow,
that in a while.
Wow, look at you. And the
pulling out the throwbacks.
You're pulling out the throwbacks on the new year? Wow. The Awesome Truth reunites and they defeat the Judgment Day consisting of Dominic Mysterio.
Well, Dominic Mysterio's in the Judgment Day.
And
Danny McDonough's not.
Yes. Yes, a J.D. McDonough who's trying to be in, but he's not in. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it still kind of boggles my mind that The Miz is like a babyface right now, but
Great babyface.
Yeah, fantastic babyface. And, you know, the match was fine.
Took an Austrian boss, monster heel, to make him a babyface.
Shane McMahon?
What do you mean?
Shane McMahon made Miz babyface once.
No, but I'm talking about this turnaround.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I said an Austrian boss.
Speaking of that Austrian boss, you know, T's and P's to Giovanni Vinci. Got concussed, I believe, on the show and kind of brought the match to a screeching halt and probably messed up some of the time in stuff. But hopefully he's fine. You know, shout out the referee and shout out to the medical staff for kind of jumping on that. It was very obvious what happened, but, you know, sometimes, like in AEW, hate to kind of bring it back to them, but like, you know, the John Moxley situation, some of those things where they kind of try to push through it. But T's peace. Hopefully he's better.
Yes.
I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Yeah, right. The Cody promo and Nakamura, that's still going on.
And we're going to get Cody and Nakamura next week on Raw. So it's kind of that and the CM Punk return are kind of the two big hooks for Raw next week. And it was just kind of there. It was kind of repetitive. Nakamura talks again with subtitles, which I like. I like him talking in his native tongue with the subtitles beneath him. But the feud is just kind of there. At this point, it's kind of like a holdover to get us to the Royal Rumble. We all know Cody's going to win, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's what's going on. That is AEW, the Undisputed Kingdom, have a promo. Adam Cole, Matt Bennett, Matt Taven, Roddy Strong, and Wardlow. You know, Adam Cole talks about what he did to MJF, says Roddy Strong's going to go after the international title. Says Wardlow's going to get the world title and then hand it over to him. And the look on Wardlow's face is like, yeah, buddy, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, promo was, like, fine, I guess. You know, didn't mention it in the World's End recap, but I just thought in, like, the 10 seconds that Adam Cole kind of had his hair down and, like, he kind of had that evil look on his face, he instantly was cooler than MJF had been his entire babyface run, which kind of worries me about you turn Adam Cole against MJF. And I think a heel Adam Cole in like neutral, in a neutral site, is going to be much more popular than what a babyface MJF has been doing recently. This promo wasn't like, you know, anything special. It was an Undisputed Era, you know, typical D-bag Cole by any
God,
means.
I miss the Undisputed Era. God, man, they just, they, especially when all four of them had gold and that song is playing and it's the way they were walking, man, just, oh, man, they were special. God.
They didn't try to, like, fill in all the logic gaps that's kind of happened throughout the past couple months, which I don't know if we're ever going to, you know, get those logic gaps filled in of like, why is, you know, Adam Cole doing this? Why didn't Cole turn on him at Wembley, at, you know, last month at Full Gear, like all these different like things of why is he doing this and like doing this whole convoluted plan when he could have just turned on him at the beginning of all this. So we'll wait and see on that. I think they're just kind of punch through that and just say like, okay, yeah, he's the devil. He's a bad guy now. Let's just forget about the last 4 months of television when all these different things happened. We're just going to focus on the here and now.
Yeah, that seems to be what happens with All Elite Wrestling. Private Party returned, huh?
They did return. Orange Cassidy was preceded with Orange Cassidy defending his title against Dante Martin. You know, fine match, what you expect, but Private Party comes back. Mark Quinn, most notably, comes back from his injury. I forget exactly what he was dealing with, but put the whole tag team division on notice. So they're a good addition. I don't know if they're going to, you know, elevate the tag team division to what it used to be, but they call it the Young Bucks and the Hardys, which are, you know, two notable names that you, especially like the Young Bucks right now, because there's MIA. They threw a little hissy fit at Full Gear and have not come back since then. Yeah, you know, good for them. I'm excited to see what they've done, because it's been, what, like over a year or something like that, because Mark Quinn's been out for quite some time. So hopefully they can do some things.
Bro, Private Party, they started off AEW so hot, bro. Like, they beat the Young Bucks in that, you know, tournament to crown tag team champions. I'm like, okay, this, they're going to be it. They're going to be it. They haven't won the titles yet. Like, could you imagine, bro? Like, really? Like,
I mean, if you need a pivot from Jericho and Omega, and maybe the Jericho thing's a whole different thing right now of like if what's going to go on with him. But if you're trying to find a new babyface to kind of get to dethrone Bill and Starks, I think Private Party would be a fun one.
Yeah, because I just like, man, like in a perfect world, you could have had Private Party, you know, just going up against the Acclaimed and then just having just great matches, man. Like, but, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get there. But yeah, I think Private Party take the titles off of Starks and Bill. Starks, come on over, man. Come on over.
I just feel like the tag team division is just so stale and repetitive at this point that inserting Private Party is something they really need right now. Because it's like FTR, you know, House of Black, Big Bill and Starks are a newer team, but they don't add anything like super crazy to it. And
you know, super crazy?
Super crazy, shout out.
Mexico's?
Yep.
How'd the song go?
I forget. Didn't start with like the start of a lawnmower.
Get on my bad side because everybody loves Latino. Yeah, that's like all I remember from the Mexicools. Shout out the Mexicools, bro. Juventud, Psychosis. Great guys. What else happened?
Well, we had a return of Private Party. We also had a debut, actually two debuts, kind of. We had Mariah Mainmaker in-ring debut defeating Queen Aminata. And then we
Queen Aminata. She seen her wrestle at West Coast Pro. Great talent.
Yeah, you know, they had a solid match. You know, Mariah May, you kind of look at her and it's like, maybe else she's like a WWE diva reject or something. But no, she had a run in Stardom. She can wrestle. And I'm excited to see what she can do. She gets an interview from Renee. Toni Storm was not in the building because she could not stand being in New Jersey. So she went to New York, went to Broadway. And we get Deonna Purrazzo making her AEW debut. She is All Elite.
The Virtuosa.
The Virtuosa, there's a lot of TNA knockouts that their contracts are coming due. So, you know, Purrazzo is one of those women. And I think she is a fantastic talent, whether she is a heel or a babyface. I think adding her to the women's division is much needed. And if it's this starts off her against Mariah May and kind of like a little lower feud underneath whatever Toni Storm is kind of doing, I think this can be really good because I think Mariah May and Perrazzo can be kind of serious, just wrestle while Toni Storm kind of does her starlet gimmick.
Bro,
and something we need in the women's division.
I'm trying to see Serena Deep whenever she's healthy.
Well, we got some Serena Deep vignettes on World's End, so it looks like she will be back soon.
Serena Deep versus the Virtuoso? Give me that. I'm tuning in for that. The Professor versus the Virtuoso? Let's do that.
Also, what the hell is going on with Thunder Rosa? Like, she's gone for like a year, and then you bring her on a random collision tag match with Abaddon. Like, I have no idea why you...
Watched her vlog, saw how her entrance came together. Very nice.
I don't know if we have like an Andrade situation, which we know, you know, Thunder Rosa's had maybe some things go on backstage, but it's like she's one of, if not the like top female you have on that roster, and you kind of settle her in with like a low level women's collision match. And
yeah,
then,
yeah, I
like she couldn't even interact with Toni Storm, like just put her right back where she was in the women's. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know what's going on either, man. I really don't. Takeshita defeats Darby Allin.
He did. It was a very solid match. Probably best match on the show. Just what you would expect. Darby Allin trying to kill himself, and Takeshita's beating the crap out of Darby Allin. So Takeshita getting a win on television, on Dynamite, instead of just Rampages and Ring of Honors or wherever the hell he gets these kind of random wins we don't really see. So hopefully this means Takeshita kind of gets a renewed push in 2024. And then they cut a promo backstage, and it looks like we're going to get Will Hobbs and Takeshita against Darby and Sting in Jacksonville. Where?
Try to do the thing. Swerve defeats Daniel Garcia. Huh? Did Daniel hit that dance? He hit the
Yeah, we had the little thing at ringside where we had the dance off between Prince Nana and Daniel Garcia.
That's what I'm talking about. That's quality sports entertainment, baby.
Yep. Yes, it is, brother. And Swerve gets the win. Kind of, you know, as he should, as expected. And then after the fact, they tease a handshake, and then Prince Nana takes Garcia to Dick Kick City. And Matt Menard, who was on commentary because he's like doing commentary on Rampage for some reason.
2.0, forgot about those guys.
He comes in and makes a save, and then Swerve takes him to Dick Kick City. So as I said earlier, for whatever reason, they're continuing on with Swerve being a heel right now. Hopefully they turn him eventually, because, I mean, you can do whatever you want with Swerve. The crowd is still going to cheer him, do the dance, and, you know, awkward white people dancing, trying to do the Swerve dance. We'll see what happens there. But before the match, we had like a random Hangman Page, you know, yelling. He was like an hour and 45 minutes late to the show, but he just showed up and beat up Swerve, and we had a big old brawl to end the show. So I guess we're running it back for some reason.
Yeah, the Texas Death Match was kind of the perfect way to end that. I don't know why you would just do that again. It's just...
Hangman Page, he made it seem like he wasn't going after Swerve. He was just kind of pissed off and going after anybody, mainly because of the Adam Cole stuff, you know, the Adam Cole reveal, and he was still angry about that. So maybe, you know, he took it out on Swerve. Maybe we have, like, another match on Dynamite, and then Hangman goes after, you know, the Undisputed Kingdom while MJF is gone, which... I think at this point I'm kind of past trying to protect Hangman. So if you're just going to have him get fed to Undisputed Era, whatever the hell, it's going to be, I don't want to call them Undisputed Kingdom every single time. It's too many syllables, but I'm perfectly fine with that.
Call them the UK.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us. But before I go, I have to promote it. Ugwa returns this Saturday, January 6th, Shark Infested at the Narrative Fermentations Brewery in San Jose. That's 101 East Alma Ave. Pull up. You can see the Ugwa champion, Jordan Cruz, defend his title against Isaiah Bronson. The biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean, Nick Zander, defends the Gatekeeper Championship against Hop Daddy. Not only that, Jaya Jewel, Beast of the East Championship, is on the line against Marco Mayor. Also, there will be an over-the-top rope battle royal. You can also see Death and Desire, Chris Nasty, and Jin Savani going up against Pacific Rampage, Joey Gonzo, and Jaguar Montoya. Wild card match, the Anomaly Alex Ace goes up against one half of the world's freshest tag team, DJ Fresh. All that and more. Pull up San Jose Narrative Fermentations this Saturday. You don't want to miss it. That is going to do it for Brendan and myself. First pod of the year is down. So many more to come. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous.
It's Elite Podcasting here. Ain't nobody better. Look. Yeah. Listen to us every time we live in the side. When you turn it on, it's just defining the mind. If you feel it, our opinion's straight. With everything we moving now with the state, turn us on if the feeling is right. Every opinion now comes from the heart. No time we move with a part. We on the radio, it's wrestling. Time's aggression. Here is the feeling in the pool. Get the lesson. And if you want to prove it to you now, here's the feeling in the time and everything that we did. Listen to the senators connecting it. Moving on everything that's pronouncing it. Everything we did in the time now with the testament. Here is the feeling when we live on the stage. And everything we do, turning the page. Nobody doesn't like us. The feeling when we move, we are excited. Elite Podcasting. I know you like it. I know you like it. Yeah. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. Elite Podcasting. We are. The Bullet Cast now. Feel us. The Bullet Cast now. Feel us.
This has been the Bullet Cast. Thank you for listening.